God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. This is the final day in the 8-part series of programs on the prophecies of Daniel. We started on October 24th and conclude with today's program. All have been based upon the updated commentary by Brother Hutchings entitled Daniel the Prophet. Brother Hutchings, is there a particular group of people in the world your commentary would benefit?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. I would hope that pastors and churches across the country would again pick up this book and read it and perhaps do some studies in their churches about the book of Daniel, because as Brother Larry and I have brought out in this brief review study, that it is an important book for our day, because there are so many things in the book of Daniel that correlate with the book of Revelation. And we're living, I think, in the last days, because so many of these prophecies here we can see coming to pass right now. Recently, I wrote a book, 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. If you don't have that book, you might inquire when you write or call, or maybe Brother Jerry will tell you how to get that book also at the close. But we have the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation, and I also have another book, Petra in History and Prophecy, and also a DVD teaching on Petra. In this chapter we studied on our last program, chapter 11, I think we read something about the city of Petra here in southern Jordan. Dr. Spargimino, would you read verse 41? And this has to do with the Antichrist.
In verse 41 of Daniel 11, the scripture says, "He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon."
Now, today, that is the country of Jordan. Ammon is the northern part of Jordan. Moab is the central part of Jordan. And Edom is the southern part of Jordan, or the city of Petra, which is about 5 miles by 6 miles, 30 square miles. And it's a city that Esau went down, chased the Horites out, a city of caves. And we read that during the tribulation period, or perhaps just before the tribulation period begins, we read that Jesus said that time would come when those in Israel or Jerusalem, Judah, would have to flee. And they would have to get out immediately, not even going back into their homes to get any clothing, a prayer shawl, or a bagel. They just have to take off. And only 1/3, we read in Zechariah, will be saved. But he will bring 1/3 of the population of Israel through, but 2/3 will be lost. Now, that's a terrible thing to contemplate or think about, but we're just referencing the Bible here. But now, where will this 1/3 go during, say, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation? According to Scripture, I think they will go to the city of Petra, and it says here that Edom, Ammon, and Moab will escape out of the Antichrist, and for some reason, we don't know yet, he'll not be able to go down into Petra to kill all the Jews. And we read in Isaiah, I believe it's 62, when the Lord comes back, he goes down to Petra and leads them back through Basra. Basra is the gateway to Petra, just about 10 miles to the north, and brings the children of Israel back into the land. But here they will evidently be safe during the last week of the tribulation. At least one-third of Israel will be saved. And we have that entire teaching in our book on Petra. And also, I did a DVD shot on site. You can see the city of Petra and how it will be easy for the Jews to reside there during the last half of the tribulation. But continuing on in the last two verses of chapter 11.
Verse 44 says, "But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him."
Now, these are kind of a general prophecies here of things that are going to take place, I think, to bring this man to power and give him rule over all the earth. But he's not going to have it too easy all the time. We read that troubles out of the east and out of the north will bother him. Of course, we know the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39 has not happened yet. That is to come out of the north. And we also read in the book of Revelation that there will be an army of 200 million march from the east over the Euphrates River into the Holy Land. And China is the only nation in the world that could raise an army of 200 million men. In fact, they may have that many men in the army right now. We see here things that are in evidence today, you know, about the north and the east. That's going to be a problem for the Antichrist. But in any event, he will plant his tabernacle. He will stand on the Temple Mount showing himself that he is God. But in the end, in the last days, after he has reigned over the world for 7 years, especially the last 3.5 years, millions will die, we read in the book of Revelation. It's not going to be a pleasant time for the earth. And but now we come to the end of the book of Daniel. Dr. Spargimino, will you continue?
Well, in Daniel chapter 12, in verse 1, the scripture says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book."
Yes. As we read here, there's going to be a time of trouble such as the world has never known to that time or ever shall be. We read on in the book that many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. You know, in order for all these events to come to pass, the world has to be made smaller. We read that the nations of the world and the riches of the world will be at its depth. That's just right around the corner, in other words. Now, that could not have happened 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. It can only happen today. Many are running to and fro. Communications has made the world smaller. Increase in rapid transportation has made the world smaller. Any nation or even any person in the world will be at the Antichrist's steps. He can control, reach out his hand and control every person in the world and the riches of the world and the military without the increase in communications and transportation, what we're seeing and studying about here in the book of Daniel could not have happened until our time. And we read that knowledge would increase. 100 years ago or so, some women were going to colleges and everything, but not many were getting degrees. Right now, women get 42% of the doctorates, PhDs, granted in this country. And, you know, that's amazing. So you have not only the educational pool from men, but that which has come from women. So women are now holding many important positions, scientists, and many are running to and fro. Without the increase of knowledge, we wouldn't have the radio, we wouldn't have television, you wouldn't have an automobile, there would be no airplane, there would be no atomic bombs, there would be no nuclear weapons. So all this has come about, as Daniel was told, that this knowledge would increase. And all these things in the book, through the increase of knowledge and the increase of communications and transportation, would be made possible. We read these scriptures here, and everything becomes so very, very plain. You know, we read also that Daniel was to shut up the books until the time of the end. He is told twice here. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, which it has. And we read on verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. The book of Daniel could not be fully understood until today, Brother Larry.
Yes, we see things happening in current events in history. And even today, we realize that, hey, this is exactly what Scripture is speaking about. In fact, as you were speaking about the increase in knowledge, the exponential increase in knowledge, you know, Dr. Hutchings, as you've pointed out before, it took hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to move beyond the horse and the chariot. And then when you get into the 19th century, you have the steam locomotive, and then you have the airplane, and then you have the spaceship. So I think as we, you know, a lot of this in the scriptures, it's hard for us to understand. But as these events begin to happen, we can say, aha, now I know exactly where that fits.
Yes. And we continue on and read from verse 10 concerning the course of history and coming down to the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. You know, the unsaved today, Brother Larry, have no idea what's going on in the world. They're just like the hog that goes out and eats up an acorn and looks up and he doesn't know where it's coming from or what it took to make that acorn. And that's the way the unsaved, I think, today are. They see all these things happening, but they don't have a clue as to what it means. And regretfully, so many Christians, so many church members are the same way. You know, I don't think probably 5% of church members today hear a message on the second coming. What do you think?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. That's considered somewhat controversial, and so we don't dare get into that.
And continuing on, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up. That means when the Antichrist sets up his own image in the temple or appears in the temple to all the world, demands that everyone take his name and his mark and worship him as God until the end, when he's done away with, when he's cast into the bottomless pit, his administration come to an end, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, that would be 3.5 years, right?
Well, the 1,260 days would be 3.5 years, and here we have 30 more days. That's the thing that a lot of people have raised a lot of questions about, the 30 extra days. I've read people arguing that, and it may be true, that this is the time for perhaps the judgment of the nations taking place in this extra 30 days, and we certainly don't want to be dogmatic about it, but 1,260 would be 3.5 years, but here we have 1,290, 30 more days, one more month.
Dr. Spargimino, we have noted that the 30 days that mentioned after the end of the tribulation probably has to do with the judgment of the nation. Of course, there are some things that we can't be dogmatic about, but we know according to Matthew 25, when the Lord comes, he will determine which nations go into the kingdom. Now, the covenant with Israel indicates that there will be a kingdom here on earth, and we read in Revelation 20 that Jesus Christ will reign for 1,000 years on this earth, and there will be peace and plenty. The swords and armaments will be converted to plowshares, so there will be no hunger, there will be no war on the earth. Even there will be peace in the animal kingdoms also. We read, the lamb will lay down with the wolf. There will be a period, evidently, according to Matthew 25, for the judgment of the nations. And we think this 30-day extended period here probably would apply to the judgment of the nations. But then we have an extra 45 days. Now, why would we have a period of 45 days? Do you have any idea?
Well, I know the scholars have pointed out that during the tribulation there's going to be a lot of devastation, and we're coming into the millennial period. And, of course, depending on where you put the Battle of Gog and Magog, if you put it toward the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a lot of cleanup to be done. So some have said this is preparatory to the millennial kingdom. It's kind of like getting a house ready for a big party. You know, it's going to take a while to get all the furniture in order, cook the food, get the ice cream in the freezer, so on and so forth. So that's one of the theories. It's preparatory to the kingdom age.
Yes, there's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth. This is the kingdom that Israel looked forward to. You know, in Luke and Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus is documented that he was a son of David, a great-great-great-grandson of David, and that was the promise to Israel. Thrones have to be set up, and we read that the Christians are going to reign and rule with Jesus Christ. The New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven. So there's a lot of things going to be going on. Also, the resurrected Christians will appear before the Lord to get their reward. So this is going to be a great time in God's chronology of things to come yet. I'm kind of looking forward to that kingdom, aren't you?
I sure am, because we see nothing but war and strife and confusion. And one day we know that the Lord will rule in righteousness and perfection. And of course, that's one of the sad things about amillennialism. They have no real millennium. Golly, if this is the best there is. In fact, some people tell me that we're in the kingdom age today. I find that hard to believe.
Well, I do too, with all that's going on in our country and also up in Canada. I would not have believed even 20 years ago that what we see happening today is going to happen. But we have a glorious promise, and I feel sorry for those who have no such hope. We need to pray for our unsaved friends and loved ones, because as we have proven here in our review studies on Daniel, that everything in Daniel is going to come to pass. it has not come to pass. So much of it has come to pass that we know the remaining maybe 20% is going to come to pass. 80% has already come to pass. If you don't have the hope of the future, these are not times to put off making your peace with the Lord. Could you tell our listeners who may not know how to be saved and have this glorious hope, how they can get it?
Well, I think the greatest hindrance to being saved is the thought that it's something very complicated, very difficult, something that takes a lot of strength and energy. Friend, Jesus has already done everything that needs to be done. All you need to do is to receive the benefits and the blessings of his death on the cross. And of course, the Bible says that by grace we are saved. It's not by our works, not by our intelligence, but it's simply trusting him, acknowledging that you are a sinner. We all are, of course. I'm not just pointing a finger at you. We all are sinners, and that you need his mercy. And he has demonstrated that he is fully able and capable to make a propitiatory sacrifice for you because he died on the cross, and on the third day he was raised from the dead. That never happened with Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius or anyone else. Jesus is alive. He's willing, ready, able to save you to the uttermost. There's one thing you have to do: put your faith in him.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Friends, be sure to get a copy of Daniel the Prophet by calling, writing, or visiting our website. The 308-page book is available in appreciation of a $15 contribution in the U.S., $17 in Canada. Phone 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, P.O. Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. Or go online. The website is at swrc.com on the Internet. The other items Brother Hutchings mentioned are also available. They are 40 Irrefutable Signs of the Last Generation. The 212-page book is printed on 8.5 by 11-inch pages. It's offered for a gift of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. That's the same gift amount for Revelation for Today, a 221-page book on 8.5 by 11-inch pages. Petra in History and Prophecy is 160 pages and will be sent for an offering of $15 in the U.S., $17 in Canada. The DVD, Petra, Israel's Secret Hiding Place, 1 hour in length, is $15 in the U.S., $16 in Canada. And the 8 programs in this series will be sent for an offering of $25 in the U.S., $27 in Canada. They're on CD or tape. Once again, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. The website is at swrc.com. That's a lot of reading and watching, but with all these resources, you'll certainly have a better grasp on the changing world that we live in today. While we await the soon coming of Jesus to gather his church to himself in the air and eventually put an end forever to sin and suffering, contact us today. Tomorrow and Friday, Brother Larry visits with Waleed Shuibat's son, Theodore, about an intriguing book he's written entitled For God or for Tyranny. Be listening both days to your Watchman on the Wall program, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. Welcome to today's Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. We report on a recent news story and relate it to the Bible. I'm Jerry Giltner. I'll be bringing you today's report. The practice of changing one's sex from male to female and vice versa is not new. Men and women have been doing that since physicians learned how to perform the procedure. But when the patient is an 11-year-old boy, we were shocked. How, we wondered, could this be? Then, upon reading an article from Public Advocate of the United States on October 4, 2011, we understood. The boy's, quote, parents, close quotes, are a lesbian couple. We quote from the Public Advocate piece, an 11-year-old boy in California has begun the process of gender reassignment surgery. Thomas Lobel, who says he prefers to be called Tammy, is undergoing controversial hormone-blocking treatment that will stop him from experiencing puberty. And the not-so-shocking family circumstances of this confused little boy? He has two mommies. Yes, Tammy Lobel is being raised by lesbian parents, Deborah Lobel and Pauline Marino. He has no father, no masculine influence, no male role model to bring him up as a man. On top of that, his parents are neck deep in homosexual pride and acceptance and anything-goes culture. We live in the Bay Area where lots of alternative lifestyles are in place, Ms. Marino told reporters. She and her wife claim they have no idea why their daughter is so confused, but it's rather obvious what has happened to this poor child. This boy is the tragic victim of a radical homosexual agenda bent on squashing any concept of the reality that is biological gender. He was so confused by the distorted worldview of his New Age parents were constructing that he even tried to mutilate his own genitals in an attempt to become a female. When men and women deviate from the plan of God put in place at the beginning, the outcome can never be the best. The homosexual lifestyle is one very good example of that. The biblical standard is a man and a woman rearing their children, not two men or two women. We read, quote, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord," close quotes. That's from Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. The best, as God has ordained it, is for a child to have a mommy and a daddy. That's today's Bible in the News Report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. These reports are published each month in a booklet, and you can get a complimentary copy. Simply call, write, or visit our website. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. The website address is swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program, when once again we include a Bible in the News report.